Bang. That's the way I can call my wife tonight and tell her we at least started with a bang. I don't know where it's going to go from there, but I trust that you'll keep praying. That's loud. So I don't have to ask y'all half a dozen times, can you hear me? Back here in the front of the church. Okay. I'm extremely thankful to be here with you this evening for this course of meetings. It is an opportunity that I've longed for quite some time. I trust it is of the Lord and not of me. If it is of me, then it's going to come to naught. But it is of the Lord, then I'm expecting big things. And I hope you came expecting too, and praying, and that you'll not stop now that you're here, but just continue to pray during the course of this meeting, and not only for me, but for Brother Charles, as he will come as well during the course of this weekend. I want to thank Brother Matt for this time, and I want to thank the church here at Rocky Mount, just in the beginning, for this opportunity and the labors that you've bestowed, the things that you've done in getting ready and all the preparations for it. Words will not express the feeling that I have towards you all here for it. It's been a special place for me to come through the years and visit here with you, and it's good to be back here with you tonight, and I thank you very much for this opportunity for this weekend. How many of you got your KJV with you? Hold it up. Thank you very much. That didn't hurt, did it? At least we'll know we're in the same book. Whether we're on the same page or not remains to be seen. Psalm 127 will be the foundation for the things that I'll try to talk to you this weekend, unless the Lord changes that, as Brother Matt's already said. I'll try to watch the clock tonight so you won't have to. Hey, here's one that ain't been set up. I got an extra hour. All right. I was going to need it, and y'all are nervous. Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And there was. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Just five little verses. My Lord, a lifetime of study. I want one word tonight, you pray, and that's the very first word, except. Except. That's not A-C-C-E-P-T. So don't be nervous, I'm not trying to get you to accept anything. I want you to plainly understand tonight that that's except. This entire message, this entire lesson course, starts with the exception of something. There is a contrast built. There are stipulations stated. It's sort of hard for some of us that have been especially taught of the things of grace and sometimes given the idea that there's nothing required of us of anything, that there could be any stipulations at all in God's Word. However, to the contrary, the book's full of stipulations. And I hope you understand that that's for the here and now. And this lesson starts with except. There is a vivid, sharp contrast drawn between two ways of life, two manners of living, two plans of that. And if you're shocked by the thought that God's got a plan, this is all his planning, his purpose, his design, his pattern. That's biblical. He does have patterns. He does have designs, and I'm not afraid to use the word plan. I think God's a planner, and his plans are perfect. And that's the point. You either do whatever's being said and about to be taught either God's way, or be ready for certain failure. There's no middle ground. There's no third choice. There's not plan three or plan C. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now right quickly, that's talking about except the Lord be the planner, the architect, the one that is doing the provision, the planning, the preparation, hiring the crew, however you want to do it. If God's not the one in charge of the building project, those that actually do the labor, the subcontractors, the ones that are actually doing the labor, if God's not their planner, if God's not providing the materials, if God's not overseeing the project, the ones that are actually working, the ones that are actually doing the work are wasting their time. It's all an effort in vain. Y'all praying? Mm-hmm. All kinds of ideas I want to get before you. There's no way that in these few hours this week, you may not believe that, but trust me. There's no way that we can cover every aspect of every part of this and every scheme and plan about all that is said in this. There's no way that we can cover all that. At best, we hope to just hit high points of different parts of it along during the week. So there's going to be all kinds of questions that you may, and I hope you do have questions. Be nice when you ask them. I've done been advised tonight to take it easy. So be nice when you're asking the questions and whatever it is, and I hope that you'll have questions. I hope it stirs you up and makes you think about some things and be honest enough to admit some things and want to talk about them and want to ask questions about them. And don't ask me if Adam had a navel. I don't know. What difference does it make? Don't ask me such things. Don't ask me what the unforgivable sin is either. We've been arguing about that for 40 years. Don't ask me such things as that. Ask things that we're talking about through this. And I want you to remember we're talking about God's way of doing things. So there's going to be a multitude of what ifs. How comes? What about this? We're talking about ideals. This is the way God said do it. Okay? And unless we do it His way, we're doomed to failure. And as one feller that I'm accused of looking like, and I don't know which one of us gets insulted, let me ask you, how's that working for you? How is it that you be real honest with me tonight through all of these lessons? How does it look for you in your house building? Well, let's take a look at your house. If you're not building it God's way, you say, well, is this all well and good? And if there's any contractors and carpenters in the house, then he's talking to him, he's not talking about us. Well, I want you to know tonight that we're all building houses. In the sense that's being talked about in Matthew chapter 7 when the Lord summed up His Sermon on the Mount and bringing to a climax all that He had said, and the people there marveled at the way that the Lord taught because He was not as the scribes. They marveled at His doctrine because He had a way of speaking to them that was on their level and was able to speak to where in their lives and situations in their lives they knew He understood and was not like the scribe who just literally read it off from the book and say, this is the way it is, get it done, and left them with it. He was giving illustrations and making it to be understood, and it was applying in their lives, and they saw it, and they marveled at that. He summed it up by saying this. He said then to the man that heareth my word and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the storms came and the winds blew and the waves beat against it. And notice there real quickly that the storms came, winds blew. But he said, this man's house stood because it was founded on a rock. But he says, the man that heareth my words and doeth them not, I liken him unto a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the winds come, the storms blow against it, and the waves beat against it. Notice, if you will, both men were building houses. Both men suffered the same situations and circumstances in their lives. The storms came. By the way, have y'all noticed in life that you're not exempt from what everybody else goes through? One of the problems, and I'll just go and get this out of the way, and I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to take it easy. One of the things of it is that I've confronted in my life through to being around, and in case any of you wanted to know my verification and my credentials and all of this, I've been among you for most of my life. I was raised in the old church and know all about us, and I can talk about you because I is one. One of the things, the problem that we've faced through the life, and I've watched among our folks all these years, and for those of you that are not one of our folks, then I think you're probably not very much different from us, if that be the case, is that we've all had the same problems and experienced the same circumstances and situations in our lives, in our families, in our homes, and with our children, in our jobs, and with our finances and such. But the thing of it is, we don't admit it. That's them other people that have that. And our folks don't have those kind of problems. We don't talk about it. How's that working for you? It don't fix it. It don't ignore it. The ostrich syndrome leaves the biggest portion of you exposed. Have you ever played hide and seek with a 2-year-old? They think because they can't see you that they're hid. It's ridiculous when grown-ups do that. And they hide their heads and say, well, if we ignore this, we don't admit it, we don't say nothing, it'll go away, we won't have the problem, we'll wake up tomorrow and everything will be all right, we'll be like a goose and wake up in a new world, but it's still there. We have the same problems that everybody else does, and the storms come our ways, and the winds blow our ways, and the waves beat against us. The question of it is, will we stand or will we fall? Because we're all building houses. We're all building lives. We're all eking out an existence here in this world, in a sin-cursed world, doing the best that we can. And the Lord says the only thing that will keep you standing in the midst of this world is where you're founded, what your house stands upon, be the rock or be the sand. And the stipulation of it was, by the way, they both heard the Lord say, but one did. And the other did. Well, I didn't know there's that much for me to do. Yeah, preacher. Remember, there was a young man came by one of the pastor's offices in Arkansas where I was at one time, and they was trying to do some premarital counseling, and there's a set down there, and if you ever noticed this in counseling, I know some of the brethren have noticed that, when you bring two people into the place to talk with them together, it's sort of strange. The one wants you to fix the other one. And it don't really matter, ain't that right? Amen. It don't matter which one of it is. He wants you to fix her, and she wants you to fix him. And a little bit into talking about this and a few Bible scriptures, and met the young man, raised his hand, and he said, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute, wait a minute. You're not going to try to convince me to do something, are you? Well, duh. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about getting married and going into this relationship, yeah, there's something going to be required of you. You are going to at least be 50% of this union to become one. Yeah, we are expecting you to do something. Oh, well, I didn't come here to be told to do something. I come here for you to tell her to do something. Ooh, that's bad. That's sand. So, if you're not expecting to be told to do something, I'm sorry, because you are. And the fact of it is, if you leave this weekend after any of these messages, and the Lord blesses and you nod your head and give acknowledgement to it, and man, that was wonderful, that was really good, I really enjoyed being at Rocky Mountain, go back out the door, and nothing changes. What good did it do you? So we're going to tell you to do something. And we're going to do it by God's Word. So we're expecting to try to tell you some things and make some changes. And I'm hoping to do nothing else if just to stir the pot enough so that these local brethren, when I get to go home on Monday morning, and the job really starts for them. I hope they got so many questions that they can't get to all of them, and I hope there's enough honesty around in the communities now that enough people are stirred to want to change their lives, and this just opens up a whole keg of worms in this area. That's what fishers of men need, is a good keg of worms, by the way. All right. So the theme of our messages this week is home, family. Except we do it God's way, we're doomed to failure. But if we do it God's way, if the Lord is the builder, if the Lord is the keeper of the city, then these other things fall in place. I want you to realize that as well. So principles do not change. God started everything in this world with relationship. Didn't he? Y'all read Genesis lately? Y'all remember how it started out with one man? And the thing that God said before sin ever entered the world, did you know the first thing that was knowledge that was not good, it was before sin ever entered the world, and God was the one that brought it up, and God was the one that done something about it. He took note of the man after every animal and everything had been brought before him to be named, and there was not found one that was meet and appropriate for him. And God said, it's not good for this man to be alone. I'll make him a wife. Wow. God took notice of the problem, and God's the one that fixed the problem. Brethren, she's not your problem. She's not your problem. She's your help from God. He that findeth a wife has found a good thing and hath obtained favor of the Lord. Brethren, y'all need to be saying amen, especially if you're married. Say amen. Amen. If you want to be married, say amen. It'll impress her. All right. Help yourself out here. Help me out here. I need it. Is this fresh water? I'm going to drink it anyway. In Arkansas, they say you can preach till the ice runs out. Gee. You're supposed to be having expectations. Anyway, have y'all ever had an aha moment where something just dawns on you? Yeah, I've seen a few heads nodding. Yeah, I had one several years ago. I've had several, but this one particularly was one of the ones that caught my attention several years ago. I was standing in the hallway of my house. Maybe some of y'all's houses look this way. I was standing in the hall of our home at the particular time, and there's all these pictures on the wall. It's not the hall of fame, it's the hall of blame. And I was looking at all of our children's pictures. It started out with them over here in infants, all nice and pretty, cute little babies. They're all pretty. Everybody likes them, you know. And as you walk down the hall, it was the progression of them growing, and here they are as nice little guys and little ladies, and oh, they're just so cute, and then here they are at this awkward age, and their teeth are starting to fall out and all this kind of stuff, and I'm standing here watching and looking at it and walking on down the hall, and years are passing as I'm taking every step, and then I get down here, and here's the graduation pictures, and now they're in high school, and then around, I turned around and looked at this wall, and there's the wedding pictures. I've got four kids, by the way. Three sons and one daughter. Got six grandchildren. Number seven's on the way, and we're hoping for number eight. And they're all perfect, by the way, just so you know. But I was standing there looking at all of these, and then here's the pictures of all of my grown children. And all of a sudden, I felt old. How did that happen? Where was I at when all of this went on? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Not your head. Preaching to participatory. Not your head. I remembered when the first one was handed to me. And they brought that squirming little thing in that little blue blanket. So I had a hint right up. That's before they told you what it was before they got here. We still done it God's way. I had to wait till they got here. Duh. It was exciting that way. And they brought this little blue blanket out. Oh, it's a boy. And they handed that thing to me. About like that. 6 pounds, 7 ounces. And I felt like I had been handed the world. And all of a sudden, I was a dad. And I'm still just a kid myself. Barely 21. And there he was. And the responsibility of the universe hit me square in the face. But there I stood that day looking around and I wondered, what happened between here and there? Who are these people? Where did they come from? And where have I been for all of this time? Do any of you know what I'm talking about? How did it happen so fast? And I missed it. And things began to dawn on me that I'd never had considered before. Kids will do that to you. Grandkids will double it on you. Y'all know that. And I began to consider how all of this had happened, and then things from the scriptures began to relate and begin to come in like a flood. And I mean, all of a sudden it was clicking, 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 just like this clock, and I wanted to slow down. But I've been trying to hold the brake back since I turned about 35. And I finally just give it up and try to go along for the ride. But how did it happen so fast? Where did they all go, and how did I miss it? What was so important that had me so occupied that I missed all that there was to hear? Do you understand what I'm saying? I can tell you for me what it was. It was called responsibility. I had to keep a roof over their head. I had to keep clothes on their back. I had to keep food on the table. And I thought I was doing it God's way. And if it took 70, 80, 90 hours a week to do it, I was willing to do it because, you see, the more that I made, the better off they would be. And the more things that I could give them, the happier they would be. And it didn't matter if my wife hardly ever saw me or my kids were scared of me when they woke up on Saturday and who was this guy in the bed with Mom? I'm not being ugly, but that's kind of the way it was. Leave before dark, get home after dark, but I was doing it. Man, woman, don't say nothing to me. I'm bringing the bacon home, just cook it and be quiet. Be happy that you got it. None of y'all brethren think this way. Y'all being good, you're not saying amen now. But I thought as long as I brought it home and got it done and filled the bill and kept the bills paid and the roof over the head and they had clothes on their back and shoes on them and they was going to school and they was learning it all, God was happy and I was happy and I was wore out. But that's okay, because that's the way it's supposed to be. And then they're gone. And what happened? And you know what I started to see? Young men that were willing to work as long as it took, whatever it took to get stuff on the table and get the roof over their head and all this kind of stuff, and a young lady that was mixed up and twisted up and all of this because she was getting connected with young men that thought the same way just like I did, and I could not stand it. Because I started seeing, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I didn't like what I saw in my house. It wasn't working. I mean, how long do you perpetuate a system that does not work expecting for different results? That's insanity. Einstein said that, and I'm not as smart as he is because I've learned it. It don't work. We might order change of that. Oh, I can't believe he said it, Brother Matt. He said, change. Accept. Accept. We do it this way. This is what's going to happen. Well, it didn't take a real genius on my part to say, this is what's happening. I must not be doing it this way. I need to change. I need to change. I've watched the little films, and I've seen the things, and the documentaries, and the commentaries, and all the things that perhaps some of you had and some of you read, and all the articles in the newspapers and from different denominational backgrounds, and even some among our brethren that are a little different than others and are willing to admit some of these things, talk about some of this stuff. I'm not the first feller to come up talking to about family. It's not the first time it's been said in Rocky Mountain Church. I know that. Just trying to scotch up and build and stir some of what already is and to make you think. I know it's not the first time you've heard it. And it won't be the last, I hope. But I marvel when we watch those other people, whoever they are. We watch the other folks be willing to admit they're losing their young folks from their churches. They're losing their young folks after they leave home, or after they get out of school, or after they go off to college, or after they get out of college. And they're losing them from the church. They're losing them from the homes. They're going out and separating themselves. They're moving off to Timbuktu. And they never see them hardly ever again. They're so driven in all of this. I remember one time one of the most profound things I said. I'm an addict to cartoons and such stuff as that. Always been, excuse me, but it is. I'm just being honest with you, and I'm learning to deal with that. But I remember one vividly several years ago. It was in a Sunday paper. So it must have been the truth. It was in a Sunday paper. It had a little cartoon about this big up there. It was a depiction of what was supposed to be Adam and Eve. And there was a big hand coming down out of the cloud, and Adam and Eve were standing there looking up into the heavens. Good scene. Obviously they were that. And the caption was down below it, "Be fruitful and multiply. We have careers." Wow. That's pretty profound, isn't it? What do you mean have kids? What do you mean keep a family? What do you mean increase this in the earth? I mean, we have jobs. We have responsibilities. We have careers, and I'm getting ahead of myself on some of the other things. But when you start listening to other people and they're talking about losing their children and they're losing their families and their families are decaying and things are falling apart and situations are not like they ought to be in their lives, we go back to our tactic, you know, but our people don't have that. And we don't admit that. And we don't talk about that. And we'll just ignore it and it'll just go away. I know it won't. And somewhere along the line on a good meeting, I'm being nice. I really am. You don't know how hard I'm trying. Somewhere like this at a good meeting somewhere, some good brother will get up. Now, if you've never heard this, I apologize for what I say it. But I'm going to say it. Because I want to be plain. Some good brother will get up and say, "Man, I know that among our folks, they've been talking about the decline and how far we're dying out and things are just really bad. But, you know, looking around here tonight, things look pretty good. You know, let me just say it. That's ignorance gone to seed. Go back to your little 5 and 6 and 7 and 10 group on Sunday morning and say the same thing. And admit you're losing your kids faster than the other people are losing theirs. And well, you see, it ain't going to be those activities and things that y'all are going to have that are going to keep the children in. No, it's sure not. Let me tell you what will. It's for God to be the builder of your house. I was raised with the principles and taught, and maybe you have and maybe you still accept it, that the priorities of life was supposed to be God, church, family, everything else. Let me tell you, I've come to understand from the Word that's wrong. This may shock some of you, but God established family before He did the church. The priorities of life are God, family, church, and then everything else. If you don't have any families, you don't have no church. We're all mostly family churches, aren't we? Well, you do the math and see how it works out. You've heard, as goes the church, so goes the nation. Let me tell you what, it goes further than that. It's as goes the family, so goes the church, so goes the nation, so goes the world, but that's still not far enough yet. We talk about having Christian homes and Christian families and Christian marriages. You know what it takes to have a Christian home and a Christian marriage? It takes two Christians. It's as goes the individual. So will go the couple. So will go the marriage. So will go the family. So will go the home. So will go the church. So will go the nation. So goes the world. You see where it all starts with? Except the Lord. Build your house. Individually. Let's don't get the cart before the horse and start planning out everything else and be like so many do in marriages, and we'll get to this later on down the road, but so many people planning a ceremony and not a marriage. Ooh. And the young folks get lost in it. Do you remember that the Lord told us when he was here, ye are the salt. He don't say that you should be the salt of the earth. He said you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say sugar. Our problem is that we've tried to be the sugar of the earth and not the salt. We want everything to be sweet and nice and lovely and just peaceable and just try to get along. And as long as everybody's happy and peaceable with everything, then everything is good. No, it's not. It's like saying somebody that never speaks up and is always quiet or peaceable. Some of the most contentious people I've ever seen in my life don't say a word. What's the matter, honey? Nothing. And I didn't say which one said that. See? All right. Shoo-wee. I'm being nice. Can I get an amen out of y'all, or at least to know me? Won't you? Thank you. Don't be too quick to agree. Watch it. Would y'all admit with me, wherever you're from, wherever you're at, wherever you go, wherever you attend, are you losing your young folks? Do you want to know why? It's not because they don't have what everybody else has. It's not because they're not being entertained. Because if that's what it takes to hold them, you can't keep them anyway. Because when the entertainment runs out, they'll leave. When the candy bowl's empty, they go somewhere else. Do you know what the problem is? If you can't keep them still in church, it's because you can't keep them still at home. If they ain't interested in church, it's because they ain't interested at the house. Because all of it is taught at the house. I remember when we used to play church at home. I love what some little folks did down in Russellville, Arkansas one time when they come around this playing church. You know what they was doing? You know what they're doing? My brother and I, let me show you how this has progressed through the years. What time am I supposed to quit, Brother Matt? That's scary. My little brother and I used to play church. You know what we'd do? We'd take turns. We'd sing a song or two, usually Amazing Grace, imagine that. And then one of us would get up on the fireplace, on the hearth. You all know what a hearth is? It's the place where the brick's at in front of the fireplace. And one of us would say, because we see we're good old Baptists, we'd say, preach, preach, preach. Okay, it's your turn. This was an all-day meeting. And then he'd take a turn. Preach, 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 preach. Now, my mama always thought that was pretty good stuff. Then I saw some young folks down in Russellville a few years back. You know how it had progressed with them. You know what they was doing? They was playing church. You ready? They were walking around singing Amazing Grace, shaking hands, and making sandwiches. What happened? Well, now, brother, it's just not a good meeting if you don't have a handshake. I mean, you can't shake hands some other time? I thought there's more to it than just shaking hands, but y'all know what I mean. I'm being nice. But we're losing our young folks. Do we not admit that our, you may not want to admit this, say, oh me, when I say this, if you wish. But are not our families falling apart like everybody else's? Brothers and sisters, I tell you, honest God truth, I've been heartbroken of late. It's an all-out war by Satan to destroy the families of the churches and the ministerial preacher pastors' homes are not exempt. Can't tell you how many, and I'm not going to. And the names have been changed to protect the guilty. But I can't tell you, I can't count them all on both hands, how many ministerial families that I've heard that have come apart and have ended up in divorce in the last 2 years. It's terrible. And I'm talking about what I thought was rock solid families. And the devil got in. And now they're in ruin just like the rest. Except the Lord built the house. And brother or sister, you can't build it all on your own. It takes both. So, we're having that problem, and our churches are going. We just need to learn how to admit it. I had another aha moment a couple of years ago. Y'all had the same circumstances here. Flashing red lights. Y'all didn't see that. Maybe y'all have heard about a place called Joplin, Missouri. It's just up the road from us. One Sunday afternoon, about 2 years ago, quiet, peaceful Sunday afternoon, a little storm came through Joplin. Wiped it off the face of the earth, nearly. The wife and I drove up to see. She went up and worked with in the area, helping other folks. Y'all know you can help other people. And they don't all have to be just like you to do it. Amen. And I'm glad y'all know that. But she went up and worked for a week with the bunches up there, and I went up and viewed and such, and she wanted me, she said, you got to come see this. And we drove up there on one afternoon, and driving into Joplin, it was like, okay, what's the big deal? There's nothing here. And we rounded this corner here, and well, there's a shingle off a roof over here, and a tree down over there, and a little something out of sorts, and rounding another little corner here. Well, there's a building here, just a little cattywampus. If y'all don't know what that is, I'll explain later. But it was a little out of kilter with the way that it ought to be. And then we topped the hill, and I lost my breath. I'm telling you the God's honest truth, I've never seen anything like it in my life. Y'all probably saw it in Birmingham and different places across here right after that. But you topped the hill and it absolutely was nothing left. Twisted up stumps were trees like this used to be. Nothing but rubble and trash and lumber and timber and stuff just scattered all over the ground. It looked, the only way I could describe it is it looked to me like pictures that I'd seen of World War II of Europe and London and places after the Blitzkrieg and such thing come through. And everything was just absolutely in ruins. And there were people walking around in the middle of it, picking through the piles of the trash and peeling out things. There was one old couple, never will forget them. There's an old couple, looked like they, I'm saying old, relatively speaking, don't be offended, but relatively an old couple. I won't even say how old I think they was, but they were standing in front of a pile of trash and smoke was coming up from a burning from it. Standing there holding each other, looking at each other. Everything they had ever had in their life was an ash. And there's kids playing ball out in the street just like nothing happened. Dogs running up and down the street. There's stuff all over everywhere. And it was absolute ruin. And I had an aha moment. All of a sudden it dawned on me. This wasn't just rubble of houses and timber. It was lives. And I don't mean just the physical loss of life. These people of this community and this area, their lives had been immediately, just in a few minutes, changed forever. And I thought of a verse of scripture from the book of Nehemiah. As he stood and looked out over the city of Jerusalem and gathered the elders of the tribes together and confronted them after he had been out the night before looking at all of the ruin. And he confronted the elders of the families. He got the men together. And he began to reason with them, and he told them, he said, you see the distress that we're in. Now let us rise up and build. Well, all we got's a pile of rubble. All we got's a pile of trash. There's nothing left. Yes, there is. You're liable to find a board here, a plank there, some brick there, some other things here. It may be a whole lot more difficult to rebuild than it was to build to begin with. But another point I want to get before you tonight, as much as we need to admit of the rubble and the ruin because we haven't done it God's way, and admit it, as much as I want us to see that, I want us to also see the fact God's still God. And there's still salvageable material among the ruin. There's still material there that can be rebuilt. There's still things that can be framed up once again. There's still a wall that can be built in a miraculous amount of time. If you start dispersing families around the city once again, and the heads of the families start challenging their family and their wives and their kids, and they'll work with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand, and by families, one by one by one by one by one, they will start pulling together once again and rebuilding the walls. And then you can say, we're done. To the half thereof, you dig around long enough, you'll find the foundation to the temple again. And the old ones are going to weep because it'll never be like it once was. Y'all never heard anything like that, I know. It just never will be like it once was again. But the young folks are going to shout because they got a place to start with. They got hope to begin again with. Clear out the rubble. There's a lot of trash still in place. But there's a lot of good material still left. I'm looking at it. We may all have made mistakes. We may all need to confess. We may all need to stand in the halls of our homes and face the pictures. Face the facts. We've messed up. It's not like it should have been. It's like something I like to tell, and I'm going to tell it again. I've told it before, and if I ever do this again, I'll probably tell it another time. I used to work for a construction company, a big place. They're building a big paper mill. And in the entrance of the way where you went in the morning in Brass Alley, they had this great big poster up there. And I know I'm fixing to get in trouble because there's a lot of engineers in the bunch. Anyway, y'all be charitable. I'll see what kind of questions I'm going to get. Anyway, there's a big poster up here. It was a depiction of a big construction site. There was a man standing up here looking over the edge of a fence down into this huge pit. There was all kinds of workers, all kinds of equipment, and it looked like it went on for eternity down into the pit. All kinds of work being done, and this guy standing up here looking over the edge, he said, "Hey, guys! Knock it off! The engineer had the plans upside down." Doing a lot of work, using a lot of material, spending a lot of money. A lot of people are bossing in charge. People are giving their lives to make the plans, to dig the hole, to build the structure, to follow it, but they're going the wrong way. Well, let's keep going. We'll dig out the other side and start over one of these days. You know what you need to do? Stop. Get out of the hole and start turning it this way. You've got the plans upside down. We've got the plan. Maybe we've been looking at it wrong. Except God built the house. Does that make sense? Wow. But nothing will ever be changed. Nothing will ever be done. As long as the ostrich got his head in the sand. Everybody else knows our problems, don't they? Everybody else knows what's going on, but we don't seem to. Everybody else can tell us what's wrong with us, and you can tell everybody else what's wrong with them. You ever noticed how that worked? Have you ever been amazed that when you try to tell somebody else what's wrong with their life, they figure you're talking to the wrong person? You ever noticed that? They think they're just as right as you do. That's an amazing thing to me. I don't know how they can be that way because I know I'm right. I've been told that all my life. And I got a book on it. And a bunch of brethren that agree with me. So I got to be right. Oh, well, strange thing. They do too. But that's not the judge of who's right and what's wrong. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof is the way of death. It's God's way or no way. Time's passing. Stand in the hall and see the pictures. Look out over Joplin. And what really dawned on me, I started not just seeing houses tore up and such. I started seeing my house. I started seeing my family. I started seeing my children's lives. I started seeing how my grandchildren were being affected. I started seeing things that was going on and being perpetuated, and I know what's fixing to happen, and you know how? Because I've already done it. Done been there. Got the t-shirts. Got the scars to prove it. I know what's fixing to happen. I know my kids think I'm stupid, but I can still tell them, and I will, and I'll tell yours. You either do it God's way or sit in the ruin, because that's what's coming. Boy, now this is a good way to start off a series. And y'all going to listen to me the rest of the weekend? Brother Charles is going to talk to you later, and he's real positive about these things. What good does it go for you to go to? Don't you hate it when, if it's in doctors and nurses, excuse me about it. Don't you hate it when you go to the doctor and if you brethren are like me, I don't go till I can barely stand up. I'm so sick I can't talk halfway. And I feel so bad and sweat's running off of me and I got the chills. And I walk in there and some good well-intentioned young little lady about old enough to be my kid will say, "And sir, how are you today?" I'm terrible. Why do you think I'm here? I've never done that, but I wanted to. But let me ask you, what good does it do for you to go to the doctor like that and they diagnose your case and they tell you you've got this and here's what it'll take for you to fix that? Well, doc, I appreciate your opinion and I feel better already just by getting to talk to you. Throw the medicine in the trash because I ain't going to do it. You wouldn't do that, would you? Maybe you would. You're worse off than I think you are. Hard-headed is not a good trait. It'll cause you ruin. And we've glorified stubbornness. Maybe you haven't. Let me say that this way. I've glorified stubbornness. Lord, forgive me. Why in the world would you go to the doctor and him tell you what to do and convince you that he knows what's wrong with you and then tell you what to do and prescribe the medicine it'll take to fix it? And you know it's the case because you've seen other cases be healed and things straightened out, but then you say, "I ain't going to do that because I don't think he knows what he's talking about. He ain't talking to me. My family don't have that problem. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I feel great. I feel great. Why in the world would you come to God's house, listen to God's word, ask God to tell you what's going on in your life, and he actually do it? There's a duh. You've asked him to show you what's wrong, and he actually does? Oh, well, I wasn't expecting that. It's sort of like a good brother of mine in Arkansas says, you know, he's reading that, and he's convicted that this is God's word, and it's telling him what to do, and all of a sudden it dawns on him. I wonder if he's talking to me. You think maybe he is? He still does that. Y'all been a good congregation tonight. I do know what time I started, so I'm not going to say that lie. I do know what time I started, and I do know what time I'm going to quit, and it ain't yet. So, this is just an overview tonight, and I hope it's got your attention. Because we're going to go through, Lord willing. I don't know what Brother Charles is going to say. I haven't told him what to say. He's got an advantage. I've sort of hinted a little bit what I'm going to say. But Lord, being our helper, we're going to go through the rest of these verses of this before the weekend's over. And we're going to talk about marriage. By the way, I was told I needed a good snappy title for this. The title for it is Acorns to Arrows. God's promise is in the seed. Boy, that got your attention. I ought to have said that first. Maybe that'll make you want to come back tomorrow night. And Saturday morning, and Saturday afternoon, and Sunday, and Monday. No, I'm leaving Monday. I think. I may leave for then. Hope not. Let me close with this tonight. Y'all been a real good congregation. You've been really attentive. I've said some hard things to you. Because our human nature doesn't like to be told it's wrong. We don't like to admit that we've not done it right. And maybe you think that your kids are perfect. The rest of us know they're not. We've seen them. You've seen mine. I don't try to pull that off at anybody anymore. They're not. Folks used to tell me that, oh, Brother Staten, your children are just such little angels. And I was thinking, you don't know them, but I know them. Wee, I've had to beat the wings off of them before we got here. I want to leave you with this tonight. We're going to try to talk about marriage. We're going to try to talk about husbands and wives. We're going to try to talk about children. The blessings that they are and not hindrances. Even teenagers. Wow. I'm serious. And we're going to try to talk about some discipline. And we're going to try to talk about finishing well. Happy man with a full quiver. So y'all come back. When God started this world, he painted a beautiful portrait of what it ought to be and gave it to us in his word. We have it now. But he did that with the first man and the first woman that ever was, and it was absolutely beautiful. And before sin ever was, it was a portrait to behold. Amen? Yeah. But then we messed it up. And what once was a beautiful portrait got ripped and torn and separated and done, and all we have now is a jigsaw puzzle of what once was. And we're all trying to put the puzzle back together. And it's really easy to find the corners, because they're square. It's easy to find the edges, because they got a straight edge on them. And watch everybody put the puzzle together. They get the corners and they got all the edges. But then you start watching them. If it's one of these 4,000 piece ones, you know, and it's not real simple, there'll be a, oh, this is all green. There's ground. Well, that's blue. That must be sky. And you'll see this portion up here or down here. Well, there's a tree, a lake, a house. And you know how you do that? It's because on the box that it come in, there's a picture of it for you to go by. And the best way for you to get the puzzle back together is look at the picture. And as you're looking at the picture and you're putting your puzzle together, some of us may have this corner over here about put together. And in your house, you may have this corner put together. And over here, down, where did you find that? Oh, it was easy. I used all this. Well, it wasn't easy to me. So you can show me how to, are you listening? And you got this corner together and I got this corner together. But nearly every time you find there's a hole right smack in the middle of it. And a whole bunch of pieces. Well, you know, so where'd them go? You know what fits in that great big old hole in the middle of your life? Yeah. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And all of us have got a great big hole in the middle of our puzzle that we're trying to fill up with everything else in this world, and it does not work. Amen. Except the Lord build the house. You're wasting your time. Yeah. But I want to leave you with this tonight. You can still look at the original and get the picture if you put the pieces where they belong.